All right, good morning. I'd like to talk about the calculation of tunneling into a compressible quantum Hall edge that we've done with Andrei Shutov and Bert Halperin. This is the outline of what I'm going to say. I'll first talk about our motivation briefly, because part of it has been covered, and then talk about the calculation, the results, and discuss the kind of approximation, semi-classical phase approximation that is made in the calculation, and discuss the limits of its validity, and then talk about experiment in our cryo-electric liquid theories and compare our results with those. So first of all, as we heard this morning, the situation with the Cayley-Lattinger liquid theories depends, the tunneling exponent of the Cayley-Lattinger liquid theories depends on the nature of the filling fraction and on whether the modes, all the modes are propagating the same way or the opposite way, and the two most important families of filling fractions are these James fractions, and for the first family, the tunneling exponent is universal and does not depend on interactions just given by something which is sensitive only to the filling fraction. And then for the other family of modes for which there are counter-propagating modes, the exponent depends on the interaction and there is no universality. However, as Charlie explained, if you introduce scattering by disorder which equilibrates the modes, the answer becomes universal, and this is the prediction. So there are a few points. First of all, Cayley-Lattinger liquid theories obviously can treat only incompressible states, and the range of validity of a Cayley-Lattinger liquid theory for a particular incompressible state is limited by the gap, by the value of the gap in the bulk. And so if we are thinking of tunneling experiment at voltage higher in a certain range of voltage, then this range will be described by Cayley-Lattinger liquid theory if the voltage is smaller than the gap in the bulk. As Charlie said, the predictions are, if we only consider the universal values of the exponent, they feel, nevertheless, even though the set of fractions is discrete and predicted family of exponents is discrete, they are interpolated by a continuous line that he shown, and there is a question, why is that? Okay. Now, the other important thing is the experiment which Charlie reviewed. There are these systems that are Albert Chang done experiments with, where the edge is very sharp and there is a density profile which is constant almost up to the very edge, and for those there is indeed observed Powell or tunneling ID characteristic, and the tunneling exponent is and the Powell or is observed for all filling fractions, doesn't matter whether they are compressible or incompressible, and the Powell or is a monotonic continuous function of the filling fraction. Okay, so clearly there is a demand on some our way of our thinking about tunneling, which does distinguish between incompressible and compressible Hilbert fractions. Right, so this is the starting point. The calculation that we've done is uses the theory of a compressible quantum Hall state, which is the theory of composite fermions. I don't think there is a need to review that, but let me just flash it quickly. So, theory of composite fermions is constructed around compressible states like nu equal half and nu equal half and nu equal 1/4, and the electron in this series represents composite fermion, a charged particle with a certain number of even number of flux quanta attached to it, and then for Feeling fractions away from this particular Feeling fraction, the system should be thought of as composite fermions moving in an effective magnetic field, which is the experimentally applied field minus the statistical field obtained by taking the density of electrons and thinking of them as sources of the statistical gauge field spread uniformly over the area. So, so a composite fermion in this picture is an object which has a charge and produces Coulomb field, and also it's a source of it's a vortex. It's a source of statistical gauge field with a certain constant flux, and then. This theory can be used to describe properties in bulk and to understand, for example, the physics around nu equal half, the behavior of quantum Hall gaps around nu equal half, and many other things into which I wouldn't like to go, since my subject is the edge. Near the edge, the behavior can be understood are as follows. One can just draw this effective magnetic field by just as I said, by subtracting the density of particles times p flux quanta from the experimentally applied field, and then what happens is that if there are two situations. If density is larger than let's say half in this case, then the effective magnetic field is sign-changing, and if we solve for the modes in the sign-changing field, we'll find our modes propagating both ways. And in the other case, this is drawn for Feeling factor 2/3, right? In the other case, let's say for 1/3, the effective magnetic field will be of the same sign up to the edge, and so all the modes will be propagating the same way. So these modes that Charlie talked about can be obtained like that, and this is basically our two most important cases, right? So now we would like to consider by using this theory, we would like to consider the problem of tunneling of a particle into the edge. And the effect in tunneling results from interaction of tunneling electrons with slowly relaxing charge modes, and also with the statistical gauge field fluctuations, and this results in a tunneling in the suppression of a tunneling current. Now, this problem is easier and has been worked out previously in the bulk by in these papers. And let me remind you that in the bulk, if you are tunneling into an equal half state, the suppression of tunneling is exponential, and it mainly results from well, the physics is as follows: you bring the electron in, it turns into a composite fermion moves away, but the flux that you had to subtract, T flux quanta, that you had to subtract, it stays and produces orthogonality catastrophe for the Fermi C. And this orthogonality catastrophe is very strong because the flux quantum changes the scattering phase by the same amount in each angular momentum channel. So it's an orthogonality catastrophe occurring simultaneously in infinitely many channels, so it gives rise to an exponentially strong tunneling suppression. Now, in this problem, in the problem of tunneling near the edge, the effect of the flux you bring in is not so dramatic because near the edge the flux is, well, you can think of it as being screened by the image flux, which you put in the mirror point beyond the edge. So other effects like the charge relaxation modes and gauge field fluctuations become important, and that's what we consider. The methodology basically is borrowed from this paper on the zero bias anomaly and supplemented with the right physics to describe the composite fermion problem. So before going to the calculation, let me just show the result. So the result, first of all, is that the current is a power law of voltage, and the exponent is expressed through the electromagnetic response functions of the system, such as the Hall resistivity and ohmic resistivity, compressibility, and the number of flux quanta involved in the composite fermion. The tunneling exponent, well, the calculation gives the following answer for the tunneling exponent, where, you know, there is a bunch of parameters that are listed here. In the calculation, you have to go between non-interacting composite fermions and interacting composite fermions. So you start with non-interacting composite fermions, for which you assume some response functions labeled with zeros, then when you turn on the interaction between composite fermions and by the Coulomb field and also by the gauge field, response functions change. For example, for the whole resistivity, there is this famous relationship that sort of allows to think about composite fermions at 1/2 as about the system at 1/2 is about composite fermions in the absence of in zero effective field, right? And then other parameters also listed here. Let me not talk about. Let me just mention that when we are making this approximation, when we are thinking like that about the problem that there are non-interacting composite fermions, and then we add the effect of interaction, then of course there is an approximation involved because the picture of composite fermions themselves is, well, results from interacting electrons. So so one has to be clear what is really assumed here, and what's being assumed is that we are thinking about the short range part of the interaction as being incorporated into the definition of the composite fermions, and then the long range part of the interaction is added later because that's the part which is not important, which is not important in, let's say, in the correlations, in the short-range correlations of the composite fermions, but is important in the shake-up process of electromagnetic modes. Okay. Now, this expression is becomes much simpler in the limit of our infinite Hall angle, where it turns into an expression like this, which at the Jane filling fractions coincides with the answer that Charlie K was showing. And then in the other limit, when the Hall conductivity is taken to zero, it turns into the well-known exponent of the zero bias anomaly for the diffusive metal. Now, if I plot this function as function of rho xy, so it says 1 over nu here, but actually it's rho xy, this is what you get. And if you if you take this limit of infinite Hall angle, then it becomes a straight line, a straight line, and another step. Now, for finite Hall angle, this is the value we used, and for finite interaction, there are several interactions that we tried. You see that there is a deviation from this step-like structure, but not too strong deviation, even when the interaction is large. Okay, and just to make clear how this is obtained, for this range of the filling fractions from 1 to 1/3, we do the calculation around nu equal half, so we assume p, the number of flux quanta equal 2. For this range from 1/2 to 1/5, we do the calculation around nu equal 4th, so we assume our number of flux quanta 1/4, and remarkably, the curves given by the analytic expression with different p's, they match in the ends. Okay, and here beyond this point, p is zero because only the outer, if nu is greater than one, then only the outer nu equal one edge is relevant, and there is no statistical flux involved in the theory of this edge. Okay, now I can put over the points that Charlie Kane was showing, and you see that there is good agreement. You shift it. Okay. Yeah. These are right. These are exponents found by Xiaogang Wen are for one family of filling fractions, those which are universal, and also the exponents found by Kane and Fisher for our other family of the filling fractions. And these exponents are non-universal unless you so generally they depend on interaction. But as Charlie explained, if you introduce disorder which mixes channels, or another way to reach universality is to make the interaction long range and very strong, then you get these exponents, which are
your curve was continuous near 2 and 4, whereas
these are
2 and 4. Yes. So it's like 2 and a half.
What limit does one have to discontinuity?
I don't understand the question.
Well, your curves are smooth around 1 over nu equal to 2 and...
Yeah, this is the result of finite Hall angle. If you take the limit of infinite Hall angle, then it becomes a cusp-like. All right, so... from 1 to... Experimental values of the Hall angle was the question. It's about, it varies from 1/20th to 1/30th. If the inverse Hall angle varies from 1/20th.
So is the Hall angle for the composite curve?
No, for for it, measured works y divided by measured works x. Okay, so so the calculation is, well, we did calculation for three models. One model, which is simplest to treat, is to assume that there is that there is scattering, that the composite fermions are scattered by disorder, and that the interaction is short range. Then calculation involves just straightforward algebra, and what I was showing earlier are the results of those of this calculation. Now, the other model one can consider is diffusive transport, again, but long-range Coulomb interaction. And then the problem is more complicated. One has to do it using Wiener-Hopf method, but the result is similar, and this modification does not change the answer. Well, up to corrections due to finite Hall angle, which are in this case different, but small when the Hall angle is large. The third model we looked at is a clean case with long-range Coulomb interaction. Now, in this case, one expects that even though the system is clean and there is no scattering, therefore no mixing, and one doesn't really expect universality in case of short-range interaction, long-range interaction still separates out the charge mode from all other modes, and one expects to see the same results as in the case of mixing by disorder, and this is indeed true for in this case, because the conductivity is non-local, one has to do numerical. One has to do it by numerics, but the value of the exponent one gets is very close to 3 for numerical half, and that's what in these two models one gets. Okay, so let me. So let me just flash quickly some parts of the calculation. So in the calculation, we are calculate obviously electron's Green's function. So we have to write electron's Green's function in terms of composite fermion Green's function, and then do the function integral with respect to the fluctuating gauge field. So this is how the two Green's functions are related. One writes the electron's Green's function, composite fermion Green's function, and a phase factor which corresponds to the flux P times flux quantum added at the point where you inject an electron. And then the important step is that to do the path integral, one has to use our semi-classical approximation, also known as Aconal approximation, which basically says that since we are interested only in the long wavelength fields, statistical and Coulomb, in the phase factor, we should use the current density of a composite fermion calculated like if it were free. That's the statement about the approximation. And then the validity of this approximation, as it has been discussed thoroughly in various papers where it has been used previously. For example, here it has been used to calculate the QED infrared anomalous exponent of the Green's function of a relativistic electron. And so the validity of this approximation is that the field involved in the shake-up is soft and long wavelength compared to the particle wave function scale. So if one does that, then the calculation in principle becomes straightforward, and I will be happy to discuss it later with whoever interested. The response function that one has to do when doing Gaussian integral is the response function that one evaluates using the RPA answer for the response of composite fermions. And the important question is what one throws away in this calculation. What is the range of validity? Well, the range of validity is our opinion is that the validity of the approximation is related with the possibility to ignore the scattering between the scattering of an injected electron and our electrons in individual channels. So if the perturbation introduced by an injected electron spreads quickly so that it perturbs not just one channel but many channels, then you can show that the overlap catastrophe that occurs in this case gives a small correction to the exponent, which is small in the number of the channels perturbed because of the Friedel sum rule, which tells that the phase spreads equally, evenly between the channels involved in the perturbation. Yeah. Sure, yeah. This is basically equivalent to this good mixing situation that Charlie talked about, and it can be verified in two cases. For example, if sigma xx is finite, then there is no question. Then just because finite sigma xx, charge spreads into the bulk. Also, it moves along the edge much faster than spreading into the bulk. It spreads into the bulk, and as long as it spreads into the bulk by few magnetic lengths, the number of channels involved in the problem becomes much larger than one, and we are in the range where we can forget about individual electron channels. Also, there is another range. Even when the conductivity is zero, if we are in the situation when all the modes are going the same way, like in this universal range of ceiling factors, then the orthogonality catastrophe just doesn't emerge because the orthogonality catastrophe occurs only from the channel traveling opposite ways. And so there, we should also expect universal results. So I don't think it is surprising that the chirolatigal liquid theory and this calculation agree in this good mixing limit because of that. So the conclusion is that this calculation treats compressible and compressible states in similar footing, and there is the underlying assumption is the good mixing assumption, which can be realized either by a disorder scattering or by long-range interaction which separates out the charge mode. Right.
Could you repeat the question?
Right. So the question is about from where one would expect from this calculation the power law to begin in the voltage scale. I think it's the same energy scale in which composite fermion theory is expected to work. So it's the Fermi energy for composite electrons, which roughly is the E square over epsilon times distance between the particles.
Maybe the one-third gap, or
try to summarize
well,
the question, please.
The question is to what extent the edge states appear in the calculation. They are they appear to the extent that the
excuse me? This is not a relevant theory and calculation. I'm just trying to understand what is the difference. Is the is it true that theory that takes into account just the vegetation of what normal in semi-infinite plane without any special structure introduced for H.
Right. So, okay. So there are good. It's actually a very good question. So, so the edge states appear in the calculation are to the extent that they know about statistics of quasi-particles that we inject. So, if you look at this formula, which was long and not very transparent, you see that it. It looks like something is subtracted from something, and the subtracted part is due to non-interacting composite fermions. So it's due to quasi particles, and this is the part that knows about statistics. If I throw away all the things that I subtract, I will just get the equivalent of 1/nu. Exponent that knows only about charge mode and doesn't know anything about statistics of the particles we inject. So there are pieces here like this which knows about edge plasmon, Coulomb interaction, so forth, and like that which knows about the details of quasiparticles. And hence there are these cusps on the exponent functional Peeling fraction, because every time we switch from one type of quasi-particles to another type of quasi-particles, we go through a feature.
This discussion is getting to be a little long, so I'll refer to you.
I think it's probably worth saying that what one finds at finite energies, of course, is not precisely a Powell law. If you put in the non-local conductivity, for example, you do find a dependence on the energy. It's just that because effectively, with the non-local conductivity, you get in a clean sample, for example, you get a conductivity that effectively depends on the energy of the injected particle. It's just that the corrections are relatively small once the energy gets below some cutoff energy of the order of the Fermi energy of the body particle. So asymptotically, it goes to something that looks like Powell law.
Yeah, I guess the difficulty for a theorist, and something which would really help us experimentalists, if somehow you guys can give us an idea of the energy scale. I know this is a difficult issue. And I would also like to ask you if there's any idea why the neutral moles don't decay. I guess that's the central issue.
Don't decay?
Well, that's what Wynn was mentioning. Something about the decay of the neutral moles, whether you get the cuts, or the step-like behavior versus the one. Well, never mind. Any more questions?